We're talking about faith and healing, and we're talking about hindrances. Are there things that hinder people from being healed? Yeah. Has there ever been anything that hindered you from receiving something from God? There might be something hindering you right now from receiving from God. Well, why don't we figure out what it is so we can receive? Something sticking with you, staying by you, and you can't seem to get rid of it. Well, let's find out what the hindrances are.
But I don't want to know.
Well, then you might not be able to get rid of it. The number one hindrance is unbelief. And we took you so far as to say unbelief is sin. That's no fun, is it? Why did we have to find that out? So we can get a cure for it. Is there a cure for unbelief? What's the cure for unbelief? Jesus did it. He went to Nazareth. And he marveled at their marvelous unbelief. They had marvelous unbelief. It just wasn't the regular standard kind. This was marvelous unbelief. It was belief well developed. Unbelief, well developed unbelief. And what was the cure? What did Jesus do? Did he just shake the dust off his feet and leave them there and say, well, to hell with all you guys? Did he say that? You can say that in church, by the way. Hell's a real place. It's not a swear word. It's actually, right? At some point, somebody's going to be really surprised to hear God say that. Jesus is Lord. So what did he do? He taught them. Thank you. He taught them. So what's the cure for even marvelous? Maybe you've got marvelous unbelief. Well-developed unbelief. Belief that's been developed for years. And some of us were brought up in that. Were any of you brought up in a religious tradition and doctrine and things? Well, you've had the opportunity to be well-developed in unbelief or in tradition, which makes the Word of God of no effect. Is there a cure? Yes. Jesus went forth and taught them, and he even sent disciples out to teach them in the regions round about where this marvelous unbelief was. Teaching them about the kingdom and how the kingdom works. And we've been doing that. You sow the seed and you water the seed and you let the seed grow up. And it grows up. You know not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. It's growing. Whether you feel like it is or not. Whether you look like it is or not. You may be as sick as you ever were. Poor as you ever were. But if that seed's growing, it will produce fruit and it will not return void. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Well, I'm going to jump right into this. We're going to pray first, but open to Psalms 66. Talking about things that cause unbelief. The things that are hindrances. Unbelief's the biggest one, but hindrance is to healing. Hallelujah. Psalm 66, and I believe verse 18. Yes, you guys ready? We're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the spiritual reality of your word in our lives. Thank you that we enter into this spirit and truth right now. We receive from you, we flow with you, we hear from you, we know what you're saying to the churches in this day and hour, and we will not be left in the dark. We will walk in the light as you are in the light. We will receive healing and prosperity and glory and please you. In Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, I worship you. Thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Hindrances to healing. If I regard iniquity in my heart, or sin, you know that's what iniquity means, right? It means sin. Where? In your mind. Where did Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, right? Things that come out of a man are the things that defile him. So they're the things that you receive in your heart. He said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed it. Well, he was saying this. And he said, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees, you can't even enter the kingdom. Well, that's where we want to be, right? Is in the kingdom. So we got to exceed their righteousness. What do you think of that? We're going to exceed, excel, go beyond their righteousness. Well, don't you know the people of that day thought, what? These are the most righteous people we know. Look at them. Just ask them. They'll tell you so. But Jesus said, no, your righteousness must exceed them. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord won't hear you. Is that a problem? Is that a problem concerning healing? What if you ask God to heal you and he doesn't hear you? You might as well be talking to the wall with iniquity in your heart. What's the solution, brother? Well, to get the iniquity out of your heart. Okay? Now, I'm not jumping on anybody's shoes here. I'm instructing. And I'm hooking up with the flow here. And if you'll hold on, you'll be able to see that, hey, there's a way out of this. And it gets really good. Because there is a way. And we're going to find out that iniquity is the cause of all sickness and disease. Sin is the root cause. Well, if we can get rid of that, what do we have? Righteousness. We have the righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. We have the fruit of righteousness, which one of which is healing. So where's the key here? Well, it's receiving the righteousness, receiving the healing. No, it's getting rid of the iniquity. Well, brother, I thought that if I received Jesus, I got rid of my iniquity. Well, you're on the right track then, aren't you? If we can get rid of our iniquity, we can get rid of our sickness in the same way because it's got the same root. It's the same cause. Did Jesus bear your iniquities? Well, then there's no right for sickness to be in you. Yes, brother. Yeah, well, that came out of head knowledge. You've got to get that into your spirit, man. And when it dawns on your spirit, man, that sin and sickness can't stay in you because iniquity has no part in you. Healing comes. It just becomes a reality that you live in and walk in. If I regard iniquity in my heart, do you know what that word regard is? I looked this up, meditating on it. Do you know what it means? You were wondering, weren't you? Well, I'm not telling you. No. Look it up. You do the work and look. No. You know when God looked out and he saw that it was good? He saw that it was good. You know how many times it says that? It's the same. Yeah, many. I mean, because I was looking up this word, and that's what it is. To regard, to look upon, to consider that is good. Looking upon it. Eve looked upon the fruit. She regarded the iniquity. She stared at it. She looked at it. She desired it. She looked at it. She considered it in her heart. Then she partook of it. This is what regarding iniquity is, okay? It's not, if I regard iniquity, it doesn't just mean if I committed a sin. Who hasn't? But regarding iniquity is something, and he says where? In your heart. This is something somebody does in your heart. Well, what do you? Once you're born again, do you regard iniquity in your heart? In your spirit, man? No. Why would you? You're a new creature. You may be bombarded by it from the world. It might come at you through the TV or the internet. Or whatever it is. And we all have to deal with that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things. Right? They choke out the word. It becomes unfruitful. But it's not coming out of you anymore. It used to come out of you. As a sinner, you used to breed it. It came out of you. And it corrupted you as it came out. But no, righteousness comes out of you now as a child of God. And the righteousness of faith says something. Believes in your heart. Says it with your mouth. That's another topic. But this is the way it is. That's what comes out of you. Faith comes out of you. And it produces fruit. Not iniquity anymore. If you regard iniquity. So don't go that way anymore. Don't do it. If you're being tempted with iniquity or something. You could meditate on something long enough where it goes back down in your heart. And then you're in trouble. But then you need to repent. Repent and get on with it. If I can show you a couple things here tonight, number one is to repent. Do it every day if you have to. Do you know why? Because it's keeping you in that position of humility and your heart is soft continually. Your heart can be soft to receive the word of God, whatever he says to you. Don't regard iniquity in your heart. Do you understand that? Is he going to hear you if you do? No. So what's the problem? What would be the problem then? One of the main problems if God is not hearing your prayer. There could be iniquity. He even said that about the marriage relationship, didn't he? He said, don't get in a tiff with your wife lest your prayers be hindered. Well, what would hinder the prayer in that case, according to this scripture? Iniquity. Iniquity would hinder the prayer. Isn't that what this is saying? If you regard iniquity, you consider iniquity, you hold iniquity in your heart, your prayer won't be heard. Do we pray for people to be healed? Do you pray for yourself to be healed? Of course we do. Did Jesus pray for people to be healed? Did people get healed? Yes. No iniquity in that transaction. Okay? Big hindrance to people getting healed. Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. Well, brother, I was really hoping to get one of those shout, jumping up and down messages tonight. Well, you might. If you hang on. I'm telling you, this is a good news message. Did Jesus preach the good news? Do you know what he first taught them? To repent. That's the good news. You get to. What if you didn't get to? That would be bad news. What if you went around the villages saying, you cannot repent, but if you could, the kingdom of God would be great. That would be bad news. But it was good news. You've sinned. So what? That's not the good news. The good news is you get to turn from it. What do you think repent means? It's one of the doctrines of Christ. It's the doctrine of the church. It's the first one. Repentance from dead works. What does that mean? To turn from something. How do you really repent? You turn from it. And that's got to be something we hold people up to. Did they turn from their sin? They may say, yes, I said the prayer, Jesus, please save me. Amen. And did they turn from their sin? If they didn't, then they didn't repent. They didn't do the first thing they were supposed to. Repent, it means turn from, and if you're turning from something, you're turning towards something. You're turning towards God and you serve him. Do you think God is able to heal you? Do you turn toward him? What are you turning from then? You're turning from sin, and one of the sins is unbelief. You're turning from the unbelief to God to hear his word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And healing comes through the word. Glory be to God every time. Hallelujah. Mark 1. 1. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. What was he doing? He's talking about John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist doing? Preparing the way before who? Before Jesus, who was the what? He was the Word, was he not? Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So here's John the Baptist. He was sent to prepare the way before. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins or iniquities. Good news, people. Repentance is not bad, it's great. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their what? Well, after they confessed their sins, what good was that? What were they after they confessed their sins? They were now prepared. Prepared for what? Why? God should have just skipped this. You know, if we're going to skip this message, God should have just skipped John the Baptist altogether. What's the necessity of that? And we're missing that in the church today. What about repentance? Repent from your stupid sin. Repent. Turn from it and turn towards God. You think you're going to receive the word concerning healing or prosperity or anything else if you don't turn from your iniquity? No. So you repent first. It prepares the way. What if you want to receive something? Anybody want to receive anything else from God? What's the first step? Biblically. You gotta repent. That's why I say get up in the morning. You want to receive the word of God? Prepare the soil. Prepare the ground. What do you remember when Jesus said, I'm going to sow the words. I'm going to sow the word. What were the things that sprouted up all around the word? It was because the soil was either hard, crusty, or there's weeds or anything else. What is that? It's sin. Get it out. If you get it out, you'll receive. You'll be more prepared to receive what he's going to say to you. It's a hindrance to people receiving healing is they haven't repented, so they can't receive the word that goes down in their spirit that grows up and produces the fruit of healing or glory or anything else that comes with the word. Glory be to God forever. Go to Mark 1:14, just down a little bit farther. And now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And saying, I'm glad they said this. Because it just said preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we could just make up a whole bunch of stuff that he was talking about. But he said, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. We focus on believing. Hey, we're word of faith here, right? We focus on believing. Believing's a big portion. Matter of fact, I started out these messages on it. Can't wring that out of me. But what is the way to believe? Jesus said it. He was preaching to the people who had already been baptized and repented, didn't they? Well, I don't have to repent anymore. I only repented once. No, he's telling them again, repent and believe. Repent and believe, they go together. And I'm telling you, if you learn the secret of repentance, your believing will take care of itself. Why? Because you're keeping your spirit man ready to receive from God. Do you see this yet? Are you starting to see how vital this is? This is Jesus preaching the gospel. You know what the gospel? It was the year of Jubilee. It was the year of receiving and renewing, of all debts being forgiven. Do you think Jesus preached on debts being forgiven? Yeah, he preached about the year of Jubilee. Your debts are forgiven. Glory to God, all of them. That means they're paid off. What was that also? That was sins. What are they? Paid off. They're gone. So repent and believe this. But it first part is what? Turn from. Repent. Figure this out, people. I'm serious. We're trying to figure out ways to increase our faith. This is the number one way, the first thing you do to keep that soil soft and ready and to hear from God. Just repent. But I don't know what I did. So what? Repent for somebody else. Get used to it. You're nothing special or no big nothing. Oh, glory be to God. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does at hand mean? It's right here. If it's at your hand, you just got to take of it. And he tells you how to take it. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Everybody say, repent, and believe. Do they go together? Do you see how they're together? This is a way to receive things that you may not have been able to get. It's a hindrance. Jesus said it. This was a blanket thing. He could have been standing before somebody, and he did many times. People that believed they were doing everything they needed to do. He'd say the same thing. Repent and believe. So it doesn't really matter. Just keep there. Stay right there. Right at the place of repentance all the time. And believe. We want to believe. Well, get, what's the one part that we can do about that the most? He's telling them to do it. Repent. And it's a good word. Did it not say that? The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel means good news. He was preaching the good news. Repent. Good news. Repent. This is good news because you can do this. You have the power to repent. You have the power to turn from sin, turn towards God, and then believing comes by hearing the word. Good news. We preach repentance as being bad news. It's not bad news. It's great news. Hallelujah. Let's just see this a little bit more. Mark 6, verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Huh. What is wrong with these guys? I mean, everybody must have repented at least once. Did the Bible not say that all the people came to John? It said they all came to John, they all repented and were baptized. Jesus himself came and was baptized. So all the disciples had already repented. Then here comes Jesus telling them to repent and believe. Then the disciples are sent forth and they went out and preached that men should repent. What? It's like a broken record here. Goodness, gotta repent again? Yeah, no, you get to. Get to. Do you understand? They didn't get to in the Old Testament. They couldn't enter the kingdom. This is the way you enter. You turn from and enter into belief by repentance. You enter into belief by repentance. Brother, how do I get into faith? Repent. Anybody get that yet? Hallelujah. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 12 says, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Huh. What first happened? What was the first part before all this other stuff happened? Repentance. They preached they should repent, and then they demonstrated the kingdom. Before the repentance? No. The repentance came before, and it always does. I'm telling you, it's a secret. You want a key? I'm telling you a secret here. We're in the secret society. This is a secret. Repent. Having a problem believing something? Repent from something. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Mark 2. You like how I'm getting all these in the book of Mark? I love the book of Mark. It's power packed. Glory be to God forever. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What? That doesn't even make sense, does it? Does this make sense? It must make sense because Jesus did. It might not make sense to us right now, but it made sense to Jesus. Here's a man who has palsy, and he saw that he had faith, and he said, Son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, they must have had some understanding that we've lost today. How are your sins forgiven, by the way, people? Repentance. He had faith. He had to have repented. Did you follow my line of reasoning now so far? He had to have repented. Once he's repented, he had faith. How did he get faith? He heard the good news. He heard the gospel that he could be healed. Jesus confirmed it to him by saying, Son, your sins are forgiven you. And what we've missed that they understood is that when your sins are forgiven you, sickness has no dominion over you. Why is repentance so important? Because repentance is the way you get rid of sin. And when sin is gone, the effects of sin can no longer hold on to you. You know what you do? You tell your sickness, I repent, sickness. What do you think of that? And it's like, uh-oh, my shrubbery. You're attacking it. What do you think it can do now? What choice does that sickness have to do? What choice does it have? It has to leave. It has no more hold on you. But you're the one initiating it. You're the one turning from sin. Are you starting to get this? Sin is the key to sickness. It's the devil's only way to keep it on you. It's his only right to keep it on you is sin. And if you are continually repenting, staying in that place of repenting and believing, it can't stay. It has no authority. It has to go. Every time. You starting to see why this is so important? This is a hindrance. People are hindered because of sin and regarding it in their heart. This man probably would not. What did Jesus say that for a reason? You think he said that for a reason, or is he just pulling things out of the air again? He said it for a reason because those were the exact words that man needed to hear. He had repented because he had faith, but he needed to hear those words so that he was not regarding it in his heart anymore. Jesus said, "My sins are forgiven." And then when he commanded him to rise and walk, there was nothing holding him anymore. He had revelation that my sins are forgiven. So I have nothing holding me back from rising and walking. All right, we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. Mark 2, 5, right? We're still there. Glory be to God. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise and take up thy bed and walk.'" Verse 10. Is this underlined in your Bible? If it's not, underline it. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." What'd they never see on this fashion? Sins forgiven and the effects thereof. What did Jesus specifically do in this instance? Do and say. He said that so you would know that your sins are forgiven, I say, rise up and walk. Is there a connection between healing and sins being forgiven? Did Jesus make an absolute connection between the two right here? They knew it was there, but Jesus himself made a complete connection here, saying, "So you know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. I say, arise and walk." And he rose and took up his bed and went forth before them all. And they were all amazed. Glory be to God forever. Quickly go over to Romans 5:12. Now, I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. What was it that impacted this man so much that he was able to rise and walk? Obviously, Jesus saying rise and walk. But what impacted him the most? That his sins were forgiven. Repentance is what causes you to know that your sins are forgiven. Repentance in line with the word. When you repent, you're turning from your sins, you turn towards God and his word, you know your sins are forgiven. And if you have that connection, which most of us don't have, because once again, we were taught wrong, we were schooled and brought up in marvelous unbelief, that these things weren't connected at all. These people weren't. They knew that sin and sickness came into the world through the same channel. We need to reschool our thinking so that when we understand our sins are forgiven, that our sicknesses are removed at the same time. They no longer have a hold on you. It's great news. Then we stop looking at them in two different things. Jesus said this. It's not two different things, is it? No. Or Jesus would have said that. He would have said, well, I'm going to forgive his sins, and then I'm going to heal him. And remember, they have nothing to do with each other. As I have taught you well. No. He said, so you know that they're connected. I'm going to say, rise and walk. This was the proof. He rose and walked. That was proof that his sins were forgiven. Do you see that? Romans 5:17. Hallelujah. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. If by one man's offense death reigned by one. What is this talking about? Adam. Adam's sin. One man's offense. What happened after Adam sinned? Death came in and reigned. It reigned on everybody, and we were all brought up into it. Thank you, Adam. Well, was there any sickness in the garden? Did people, you know, were they about ready to die from leprosy or something in the garden? Was there tuberculosis in the garden? When he sinned, death reigned. Death is reigning. What is one way that death reigns? It's through sickness. Sickness carried out to its full degree causes death. There was none in the garden. So when did sickness come into the earth? Through sin. You're making the connection now. Well, when does sickness have to leave the earth? When sin leaves. With forgiveness and repentance and turning. When sin if sickness came in when sin came in. Do we understand that? I can't go beyond that until we understand. When sickness came in. When sickness came in, it came in with sin. When does sickness leave? When the sin leaves. It's the same way. They go out the same door that they came in. They no longer have authority. That's what Jesus said. So I say to the sick, your sins are forgiven you. He did that specifically to make a point on that man and to make a point on us. Okay. For if by one man's sin death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace. Now hang on. Much more. If by Adam's sin death reigned, much more. Meaning it overcomes all of that. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. What's to reign in life? That means to rule over death. The effects of sin, which would be poverty, sickness, and death, and depression and everything else that comes with it. When you receive Christ through grace, you reign over it in life as a king. This is fundamental stuff, people. John 16, 8 through 9. When you repent, you are turning from sin. What are you getting rid of when you repent? The effects of sin. What came into your body through sin? Sickness. Whether it was, remember Jesus taught, well, it wasn't, was it this man's sin or was it his father's sin? Or his father's father's sin that this man came? It doesn't, it would have been his father's 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 father. Adam. That's where it came in. Not even you doing something. You're born into it. You understand? Death reigned by this one man's sin, not even yours. So the cure wasn't Jesus just taking away your sin. Jesus took away Adam's sin. All sin. And with it, whoosh, like a huge sucking sound, went the effects of sin. All sickness. That's why we can't judge anybody, look at them and say, well, they must have done something seriously wrong. And that's what they were doing. What did this man do be that he was born blind? You are obviously a sinner because your eyes are blind. See, they knew it. They knew that the reason people were in sickness, or even the poor people, they looked at him that way. Obviously, some terrible sin has come on this man and his family, or they've committed something that he's so poor and he has to beg. They were missing it. They were personalizing it when it belonged one place on Adam. Why is repentance so important then? It's to keep free from Adam's sin. So you don't ever even regard it in your heart. Goodbye, sin. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus said that. The evil one comes, he has nothing to do with me. I'm going to be quiet for a while. Do you mind? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, this is a good message. Repentance and sin and glory to God. But it's a key. You got to understand, it's not a bad message. This is the key. It's a key to staying free. It's a key to staying free. So repentance, remember, he preached the good news. Repent. Good news. This is good news. We can repent. And that's why I said, you know, we laughed when I said repent from somebody else's sin. Repent from Adam's sin. Turn from it. That's what repent means. Turn from Adam's sin. Serve the living God. And if you have any sins of your own, they'll be forgiven you too. Why? Because it came into the earth through that same channel, Adam, and the second man, the second Adam, Jesus, took it away. What came into the earth through Adam's sin? Sickness and death. Incipient death is sickness. What has to leave and did when Adam's sin left? Sickness and death. That's why repentance from sin is one of those keys that will keep sickness or get sickness off of you. I'm serious. Tell sickness. Tell it. If it's on you, tell it. I'm repenting now, Mr. Sickness. Right now. Watch me. Father, forgive me from all my sins and all Adam's sins. And all Rich's and Patrick's. Everybody else's. Hallelujah. I repent from all sin. And just watch that sickness leave your body. It can't stay. That it only got in the earth through that one channel. That's the only way it could get here. And when you understand that, you will understand the channel it has to leave through. That's why Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. Hallelujah. John 16. I'm going to show you something. You're going to be so happy about this. John 16 and verse 8. Talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read verse 7 just because I can. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Him who? The Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Verse 8. When he who? When he, the Comforter, is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Who's going to reprove the world of sin? How are you so sure of that? You just answer that. Because the Bible says it. Right. If the Word says so, the Holy Ghost is, what's one of the things the Holy Ghost is going to do? He's going to reprove the world of sin. And of righteousness and of judgment. Right? Verse 9, what does it say in your Bible? Of sin because they believe not on me. What is the one sin the Holy Ghost is going to reprove the world of? It must be iniquity. It must be harlotry. It must be pornography. It must be lying and stealing and witchcraft. And blah, 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 blah. What is the one thing that the Holy Ghost is going to reprove the world of? The one sin? Not believing on Jesus. Unbelief of Jesus. Do you believe on Jesus?
Yes.
Why would he do just this one thing? Because that's the key to making all the sin leave. Sin came through one channel, through Adam's sin. Jesus dealt with that. Now they all have to go. He dealt with the sin problem, not the sins that emanated from it. All those other things just bred off of the one. So Jesus came, took the root sin out. Now there's, you can't regard it in your heart anymore. That's good news. The Holy Ghost is going to reprove you of sin. It says the world, I understand that, but we were all in the world once, and he brought us into belief in the Lord Jesus. Why? To remove the sin seed that was on the inside of everybody. Now you have the righteousness seed on the inside of you. And what grows out of that? The kingdom of God. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Your belief level getting low? Do some repenting. I don't know what to repent of. Repent for Adam. He needs a lot of it. And the sons of Adam. And the daughters of Adam. Do it. I'm telling you, your belief will grow. And it's hard. It's one of those things. It's hard to grasp on with your head. Okay? It's one of those things. It's spiritual. That repentance, because it doesn't make sense in your head. How can repenting cause belief? How can repentance make me? I don't know. But it does. It's always the key. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Turn from iniquity towards God. 1 John 1:9. It's not the super complicated things that we need. Repent and believe is not super complicated, is it? He kept it simple, and it's not the super complicated. Was that man? Do you think that guy was highly educated? The one where he said, your sins are forgiven you, rise and walk? So if we make it too deep and too complicated, we're going to miss it. And that's why we do miss it sometimes, because I believe I'm beyond that, brother. I'm super Christian. I pray in tongues, and I do all of this stuff, and I worship, and I dance every once in a while, and I play a tambourine. I know all this stuff. Well, good, glory be to God, but don't let it make you so that you think you've got to receive everything in some complicated, super hyped up way. You don't. This is easy. This is something everybody can do. Turn from and turn toward. Turn from sin, turn towards God, and do it regularly so that you can believe. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I didn't have time tonight to develop this whole righteousness thing, but if you're in right standing with God, does sickness have any right to be in your body? What's one of the things that is, if you're, well, we know this about the curse of the law. If you were in right standing with God, well, you were promised that he would heal and take away from you all of your sicknesses. Right standing with God, this is what he does. What if you were in right standing with Jesus in that day? Except for one of the apostles, right? One of them was just filled with leprosy all the time. Who was that? Which one was it? No, that sounds stupid to us, doesn't it? You're, what, who are you walking around with? You're walking around with Jesus. He healed the multitudes, but he's not going to heal you. No, if you're in right standing with him, you just get what he has. I don't know where we get this wacky stuff from. You almost have to push it too far, and people say, no, that really sounds stupid, brother. Yeah, it is stupid. Well, then what are we thinking about? Jesus, if you're in right standing with him, healing belongs to you. As well as all the provision that he has. Except for the one apostle who just did, it was never enough for him to eat. He had ratty clothes and he stunk too. My goodness. Who wants to hang out with him? Ratty Thomas. That was his other name. No. Right standing with Jesus. Who are we talking about? We're talking about God. And then he said he's going to send the Holy Ghost, who's going to be just like him, and he's going to abide with you forever. Well, if you are in right standing with the one who's just like Jesus, are you going to have sickness in your body? No. Are you going to have ratty clothes? Are you going to be stinky?
No.
You rub up close enough to him, you'll start smelling like him. What is that? That's righteousness. You are in right standing with God in the earth today is the Holy Ghost. He's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. There's a judgment on sin. There's a judgment on sickness. It's been judged. He's going to do it. He's going to prove that to you. He'll prove it to you. What's the key? On repentance and believing him and being in right standing with him. He's going to bring you into all of these things. Can he bring you into all these things if you're regarding iniquity in your heart? No, this is good news, because you can repent. Turn from it. Turn. I feel like I've turned 180 degrees. Well, turn another 180 degrees and then another, and they keep turning from sin. Well, then I'm turning in circles. I know. Isn't that fun? Welcome to church. What are you doing, brother? I'm turning from sin. I'm turning from sin. I'm turning from sin. I'm turning again. Hallelujah. Yeah, repent and believe. Repent and believe. They go together. Hallelujah. Wait a second here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some unrighteousness? I'm telling you, sickness is unrighteousness manifesting itself in your body, right? Poverty and debt is unrighteousness manifesting itself in your finances. Stupidity is just sin manifesting itself in your head. Duh. Repent. Yes. Repent. Yes. And God will cause you to walk in his righteousness. I don't know what to do. Repent. Right? And you know, what are we above all this stuff? Are you kidding me? Come on. I repented once at the foot of the cross in 1965 at the meeting that Brother George held. And it was, you know, at a camp meeting. And I cried. If that's the last time you repented, you are one sorry brother. That's why I say, you get, repent. Just say, God, Jesus said that. What did he say in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the Lord's Prayer, just do it regularly. Forgive people. Ask for forgiveness for yourself. The Bible says, remember the two men who came in? One puffed himself up. He said, I am great. I am not like these other sinners. And I tithe regularly, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus was watching them both. One man came in. He didn't even want to look up towards heaven. He said, God, forgive me, a sinner. Which one did Jesus say went home justified? The one who repented. Repenting in belief. It's a spiritual something. It's a tangible spiritual something. We want to receive tangible spiritual somethings, don't we? This is the beginning. Repent and believe. If we confess our sins, he's even showing us how to do it. Confess, that means to sign language it, doesn't it? Means to write it on paper and burn it ceremoniously. To speak it, to say it, confess. We know what confess means. You don't have to do it to me. If we confessed our sins, he is faithful. So who do you think you have to confess your sins to? Him. He's faithful to forgive them. If you regard the iniquity in your heart, he's not going to hear you. So what are you going to do? You're going to let it out. Get it out of your heart. How do you get it out? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out. Get it out. How do you get it out? How do you root out those things that may be hindering your belief, your faith? Confess it out your mouth. God, I'm sorry for whatever it is. Stupidity. Ignorance. Being loud and long. Preaching too long. Making people fall asleep. Unbelief. That's a good one. Forgive me for unbelief. It's the cardinal sin. God hates it. He kept the children of Israel out in the wilderness for 40 years until they died because of unbelief. They entered in not because of unbelief. Not because of all the other stupid stuff they did, the murmuring, the complaining, and the idol building, and the... Right? Because of unbelief. All right, Jesus is Lord. We're almost there, people. James 5, 14 through 16. Now, if we can get you... Now, if you confess your sins... This is why this is such a big verse. If you confess your sins, what is he going to do? He's faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse you. Did you ever hear him say the cleansing of the lepers? Did you ever hear the Bible talk about this? A leper shall be cleansed. What is leprosy? It's a sickness. But it came in through what? Through sin. So Jesus said he's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Can you be therefore cleansed from sickness and disease? Can you declare that you're cleansed from sickness and disease? What gives you the right to do that? You must just be righteous. Well, yes. When you're the righteousness of God because you've confessed your sins, the Bible says he will cleanse you from all the effects of sin. That's why repentance is so big. Repent from the sin. He cleanses you from all the effects of the sin. Tell those things to get out of your body. Tell them to get out of your finances. I've repented. I know I repented. I repent. I repent. I repent. How about that? There's no sin that can stay around that. Jesus said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, all things that's not right standing with God. Jesus is Lord. James chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Why did he put these together? This is going to have to dawn on you, people. And if it does, you will never be the same. You will never look at sickness the same. It has only one avenue to come in the earth. One. Sin. Whether it's your sin or Adam's sin or anything in between, it still had to come into the earth through Adam. It had to come in through sin. Sin and sickness are one and the same. Sickness is the result of sin. When you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all the effects thereof. Whose job is it to heal you? Yours? It's his. Your job is what? To confess your sins and to believe, yes, to believe on him who's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. John 5:14. Get the focus off the sickness. That's just a result. Get your focus on the repentance, which is your part to do, and then believing that Jesus forgave you, and then the results of sin being sickness has to leave. Sometimes we focus too much, and I'm just telling you, this is one of the main hindrances. There are others, but this is one of the main hindrances to healing or for people receiving healing. It was in that one man's instance. The Bible said he had faith to be healed, but he wasn't. Jesus perceived his faith, and then he had to deal with the sin issue. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And then when he said that, everybody knew that was present. They knew what that meant. I mean, the sickness has to leave, has to leave. So, have you repented? And this is the good news, and this is where I really want you to see yourself at. Have you repented from Adam's sin, from the original sin? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is where this is where the Holy Ghost came in to get you to that place, to believe on Him? You have. So what has no right to be in your body? Sickness. It has no place in you anymore. Glory be to God forever. All right, John 5:14. And afterward, Jesus, finding him in the temple, said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Sin no more, lest... Now, how is somebody going to sin no more? This man couldn't even be born again. How could he stay there? Repentance. Thank you, Tanja. You graduate. Go to the head of the class. Repentance. It is so key. Let's not think it's a one-time thing. You get sin presenting itself to you, just repent. Repent. Don't run from God. Run to Him. Continually. Run to Him. Run to Him. Run to Him. Just run to Him. What'd you do? Nothing. But I don't want to do anything. Right? Repent. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come. So like I said, it doesn't mean that you were the one doing, but it could be. It could be. And because I don't want to go that far and say people aren't sinning and it isn't causing things. You go out and drink a liter of Jack Daniels every day for 30 years, you're going to get sick. Or smoking cigarettes. Eventually, it'll probably have a bad effect on you. So I'm not saying that. Sin has an effect. Overeating. If we ate at McDonald's and we ate 5 Happy Meals 3 times a day, you're sick, brother. You're sick. It's like got sickness written. They should just say, would you like the sickness meal? I call it a Happy Meal. I don't know. At some point that becomes sin, and that could cause a worse thing to come on. Do you understand? So I'm not, you've got to understand that the root cause of sickness came into the earth through Adam's sin. Jesus removed it. Now here's Jesus coming saying to the man, now that you've been healed, sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Walk free from the sin. Walk free from the sickness. And we know it is much easier to keep sickness off of you than it is to get healed from it in the first place. Until this dawns on you. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us the ability to repent. Right now, we repent of all sin. We repent of all iniquity. We refuse to regard iniquity in our hearts. We regard your righteousness in our hearts. We walk in right standing with you. And I ask for forgiveness for any words that I've said that are wrong. I ask for forgiveness for any actions that I've done. I ask for forgiveness for anything that I may have said to anybody and offended them or hindered them from following you and flowing with you in your kingdom. Please forgive me. Please forgive us all. We repent and we believe that we are receiving the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God into our life even right now. Sickness can't stay on our bodies. Poverty can't stay in our bank accounts. We are healed. We are whole. We are blessed of the Lord. Thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness and all the effects of sin in our life. Right now, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.HolyGhostSociety.org.